This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. We're going to be talking about getting your kids in the kitchen and teaching them to cook. You know, a while back, I went to a mother-daughter dinner with my mom at her church, and I was really shocked because we sat across from a mother and her 17-year-old daughter. And we had a conversation, and she said, "So how many children do you have?" And I told her their ages. And she said, "Well, what are they doing for dinner? Did you make them something or order pizza?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "You don't know?" I said, "I don't know." And whatever they decided to make. And her daughter's mouth fell open. And she said, "I wouldn't know how to go about making a dinner."
Oh, my.
And I thought, you know what? Mom, you failed. That's not what I said to her, but she really had, because her daughter was about to step out into the world and had no idea how to cook for herself. So we're going to talk about getting your kids in the kitchen, how to do it safely, how to help them enjoy it. And we have a special guest today. Hal's not with us, but we have with us one of my best friends, Jan Smith. She's on the board of directors of Chef of Louisiana. That's the Christian Home Educators Fellowship of Louisiana. That's their state homeschool support group. And if you're in Louisiana, you need to be a member. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Jan and I share a lot of things. We're like sisters who never met. But one thing we do share is a love of cooking.
That's right.
And our kids love to cook. Can you imagine a 17-year-old that couldn't cook?
Yes, because there are many of them. In fact, there are many grown women that are out there interested in marrying our sons that don't even have a clue how to begin to cook. And it is because, one, their mothers don't cook.
Yeah.
And often women that work outside the home, it's too overwhelming for them. And unfortunately, many women that are at home just have not taught. They may be very good cooks. And it's like by osmosis, their kids are going to one day learn how to cook. And I think, as much as teaching them academically, that's a life skill that everybody's got to have.
Three times a day, minimum, you're going to do this. I see kind of two things going on when I talk to moms. One of them is they don't know themselves. Some of the young moms I talk to, they were in daycare from the time they were little. They were never home with their mama. They have no idea how to cook. One mom told me she had never cooked raw meat. Can you imagine?
Well, a lot of people are afraid of raw meat and... but it's like anything, learning to know what safe handling practices are, mm-hmm. and to be able to communicate those things. And I think it's talking to your children about cooking. If you start when they're young, then it's fun and they like that. And, you know, we know that. We get that with dance. We start them in dance at 4 or in tennis lessons or whatever it is we want them to be really good at. We start it young while they're not afraid and while they're willing to try pretty much anything. I think that's where it needs to be with children.
And, you know, Jan, those are some of my happiest memories. Are standing on a stool next to my mama.
Aww.
And I remember, even my grandmother, I remember standing on, just like it was yesterday, standing on a stool in my grandmother's kitchen.
That's
and
cool.
She was making biscuits and I was eating the trimmings.
Aww,
you know, the biscuit dough. And to this day, every time I make biscuits, I sneak a little dough.
How interesting.
Because it reminds me of standing
Happy
there.
Fuzzies. That's right. Right. Yeah.
And so... when does it start? It starts as soon as they can stand up on the stool beside you.
My daughter-in-law now has one of those little towers is what they're called, and they're really cool, and they're designed specifically for a toddler to be able to stand in the kitchen while you're cooking.
Oh, that's great.
And she's already started with that child standing in the kitchen cooking, so it's important, and I think it's doable, and... I think that's what we're going to do today is to try to give some practical how-tos of why it's important and how to do it.
Well, you know, it's important for one thing. It's going to take a huge load off mom if anybody can cook.
Right, right.
You know, in our house, we have a chef of the day.
Ah.
And we rotate through chef of the day. And the chef of the day needs to be prepared to cook all of the meals unless I want to cook. Because often I'm busy with the ministry.
That's awesome, Melanie.
Or I'm writing. And so they just are prepared. And, you know, when people hear that, they think, oh, what a burden. But my kids love it. Because the chef of the day gets to choose the menu.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And they love that independence. They love just being able to choose. They get to choose their favorite. Now, they have to tell me before we go to the market. But they just, they adore that. Because they get to choose their favorites. And so, you know, now can you do that at 5? No, you can't do that at 5. But you can do it at 9. 9 is generally when we start chef of the day.
That's so much younger than what most people are even thinking about starting to cook. I think, like my mom, when we were growing up, she was a wonderful cook, and there were 4 of us girls, and we did all the extraneous things, like set the table, get the ice, and all of that stuff, but she thought we were so busy that she was doing us a service by doing the cooking and letting us do our activities until it was time to eat. And I look back, and she, you know, she died at 42, and we were between 18 and 22, and I never learned to cook from my mom. I knew she was a wonderful cook, but I didn't learn. And I wish that I would have cooked alongside her. And she said, you know what? Your piano practice is important, or your basketball practice, but it's important for me to teach you because I may not be there later to answer your questions.
And she wasn't. And you know, how heartbreaking. You know, it worked out kind of well in my family because my mother taught me to cook and taught me to cook very early. And then they grew their own business. And then when I was a teenager, she was too busy to cook.
And you were able to serve the family.
But I had freedom, and I was able to serve the family and work in the kitchen and to do things like that. And so it worked out very well. You start way early when they're standing beside you, and you let them do whatever they can do. You know, there's no reason a child can't do biscuit dough. There's nothing dangerous in biscuit dough.
Right, that's right.
You know, what about chopping? People, you know, okay, we used to sell pocket knives. Do you know why we don't sell pocket knives anymore?
Because parents were afraid to let their boys play with a pocket knife.
Honey, I had a mama stand up to me at a conference, and she said, I'm scared he'll hurt himself. I said, well, how old is he? I'm thinking 7, right?
Right.
14.
Used to, men were doing full-time jobs by the time they were 14.
My grandfather worked in the mill at 14, doing a man's work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so how do you teach them knife safety? Well, in our house, when they're little, I'll give them a squash or something and give them a plastic knife to cut it with. They're not going to hurt themselves with that.
Right. That's right.
And while they're using that, though, I teach them safe practices. Okay, you don't cook towards yourself. Mm-hmm. You make sure your hand's held way back on the vegetable. You don't hold it up next to the knife.
Right, right.
And I teach them those skills while there's a safe implement they can use.
Right. And they can do strawberries, grapes.
Strawberries, grapes, all kinds of things like that with a plastic knife.
That's right.
And then once they've learned those rules.
And how to handle it and how to hold it, then they can move forward.
Then they move to it forward. And at that point, I don't even worry about it because they know how to do it.
Right.
Susanna and Katie, 11 and 7. Peeled all our peaches and cut them up and made a peach cobbler the other day for our family. I never even touched it.
Well, a few years ago when we first met, y'all came and I said, what did y'all have for lunch? And you'd said that they had made chicken salad before you left the house. And I said, who's they? And you said, Susanna made it this time. Yeah. And she was 9.
Yes.
So I know that you've done that and I commend you for that. And whoever moms are out there listening, just know that if you're afraid to let them get started, then just like homeschooling, you were afraid, but you jumped in and did it anyway because you felt like that was what was right.
So let's talk about a few things that a preschooler can do in the kitchen. A preschooler can set the table. In fact, that's great math skills, one-to-one correspondence.
Actually, they can learn to empty the dishwasher if you will learn to use plastic.
Yes.
I remember the day that my oldest son I told him to put his plate in the sink, and he very willingly obliged. And when he dropped it into the ceramic porcelain sink, it, of course, shattered.
Oh, no.
And it was a $12 plate that we had gotten, you know, for our wedding set.
Right.
And I went that day and bought plastic because I wanted him to be independent and to learn those skills. And if you put your dishes down low where the children can put them away, they can then learn to unload the dishwasher.
Yes. Ours load and unload
the dishwasher. They want to do it anyway.
Yes. Preschoolers can put away silverware.
Yeah.
They
sorting.
Can set the table. They can tear up lettuce for a salad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can put salads on plates. they can do all kinds of things that maybe you're not even thinking. They can get, when you're having pancakes, they can get the butter and syrup out of the fridge and put it on the table.
And even if they put a little bit too much butter on the pancakes, they can spread butter.
They can spread butter.
They can learn to do those kinds of things. And if you ask God during your cooking, show me, Lord, what they can do. And
yes.
You learn to see with new eyes.
Absolutely.
Jobs that they can do. Then later on, it's amazing how much help well-trained children can be.
Oh, it is. Now, let's talk about the early elementary, like 5 to 7 or 8.
They can cook noodles.
Yes, they can.
They can measure water and pour into. They can make simple things like instant potatoes.
Yes.
They can do, they can even learn to peel potatoes with a potato peeler.
Yes, with a potato peeler, they can make sandwiches. And they can completely make lunch and serve it. Now, if you've got young children, I remember when I had 4 children, 8 and under. You probably do too. It is stressful.
It's very stressful.
But if you're sitting there nursing the baby and everybody's getting hungry, you can turn to your 7-year-old and say, honey, go make lunch.
And they can cut cheese even.
Yes.
With the right kind of cheese knife, they can learn to, or a cheese slicer.
I got
they
these
can
cheese
learn to
slicers
do
with that had a wire.
Right. They can do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they can
and
make
And they may
sandwich.
Not cut it the exact right width. But if children are going to be eating it, they can have cheese and raisins for a snack or
yes.
some nuts,
yes.
you know, that they can get out and to do basic things. Katie was telling me today that one of her favorite things to make was a doodlebug hat or something like that.
Oh, beetle hat.
Beetle hat.
That is fried bologna with instant mashed potatoes on top and a little piece of cheese for a feather.
Yes.
And that is her favorite lunch.
She loves it.
Now, these young moms are probably freaking out at that, but we ate that growing up.
Bologna cups is what they used to call them in the
really?
Cafeteria.
and that's...
But I could say, yes, you can do that, Katie.
That's...
And she had such pride. And,
oh, yeah.
and you know, and she's 7, y'all. She's 7.
Yes.
She's adorable. But she said that was her favorite thing to make.
Yes.
With such pride.
And so when... And the thing about it is when a child that age is able, when you look frantic because your kids are hungry and the baby just needs to nurse and is frantic and needs his mama, and you can say, honey, would you make lunch? That would be such a help to me.
Right.
Oh,
right.
They know they're really contributing to the family.
Mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm.
does so much for their confidence and their self-esteem to know, you know what, I can do something that takes a load off my mama.
That is, if you've got those things in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And one of the things about my mom when she was sick, and I was talking to her, and I was a freshman in college, and I asked my mother, I said, Mom, you've raised 4 girls. What do you think is one of the most important things as a mother that I need to know that's important? And she said, meal planning. And I looked with shock and amazement. I thought she was going to say prayer or
yes.
something really spiritual. And she said, meal planning. And I said, you're kidding. And she said, whether you get hungry or not, your children are going to want the next meal sooner than you think. And you've got to know what you're going to do so that you have it on hand. And those years when mine were little, and it seemed like every time I turned around, they were hungry. And
yes.
it happened even in high school, you
yes.
know, when I had 3 boys.
Oh,
and they
nobody.
Were all they were always hungry,
they're
whether I was hungry or not.
They're constantly hungry.
And you have to have food available in the kitchen. And that takes meal planning. And you incorporating children into that, like if they're the
yes.
ones that are going to be cooking, well, you sit down and you plan it out.
We have a family meeting and I say, okay, you're cook on Sunday, you're Monday, you're Tuesday, you're Wednesday. What do you guys want to do? We're making a list. And then I hand it to my 16-year-old and tell him to go get it at Walmart.
That's right.
You know?
And before that, when mine were between 9 and 12 and weren't driving yet, they got to where I would divide my list into thirds and do different sections of the store. And we would get to the grocery store and I would give each of them a list and a buggy. And then we would all get our supplies and meet back at the front.
What a great idea. Really fast. Well, let's take a moment here in the middle to thank our sponsor. Our sponsor this week is SchoolhouseTeachers.com. Folks, they have so many resources. Yeah, they even have a course on family nutrition that you can do with your kids and help them to learn how to do this meal planning and how to plan healthy and good meals. Schoolhouse Teachers has a small monthly fee and just tremendous resources. I hear people say all the time, I don't know how to teach this. You know what? One fee and anybody in your family can take any of their 220 or more courses out there at no extra charge. tremendous resources. You need to check it out, schoolhouseteachers.com, and we thank them so much for sponsoring this program. They are a blessing to us. We are here at the main place outside Gilbert, Louisiana, and I have my friend Jan Smith, one of the very best cooks I know. Folks, I have eaten so well since we've been here. And we're talking about getting your kids cooking and getting them in the kitchen. You know, Jan, let's talk a minute about the preteens, the 9 to 12-year-olds, because that for us is the real transitional time where it's we transition from you're helping me in the kitchen to you're doing your own thing. You're in charge of the kitchen.
Right, right. Well, when we were in Kentucky during residency, my husband was a doctor, and we had no money, and I had three small children, and I had a friend that would call me and say, "Hey, Jan, the chickens are on sale at Brookshire's for whatever amount, and you need to pick up two or three." And I would think, I only have money for this week. And yet, yeah. I remember in my heart saying, whenever I have a little bit extra, I'm going to start buying whatever's on sale and putting in my freezer.
Oh, that is such a blessing. We do the same thing, and I encourage people, if you can just put aside a dollar a week, then at the end of a month you've got $4 and you can buy some extra meat. If you can put aside $5 a week, which most of us can, at the end of the month you've got $20 and you can buy $15 a hamburger, if you get it on sale.
Now, I heard you on a previous podcast talk about the fact that you would cook that up.
Yes.
In advance. Yes. Now, I didn't do that, but I think that's brilliant. If you would cook it, that's something an elementary child could do.
Oh, yes.
Is to take that out. Something as simple as Hamburger Helper.
Yes.
And although I don't do a lot out of a box these days,
but
if you've got a lot of small children, that is an option for something they can do.
Absolutely. Fast,
especially
and
if that
easy
meat
meal
is already cooked.
Well, see, that's the thing, because we worry about our kids handling raw meat. If you go ahead and, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can download off our website a workshop called Sanity's in the Freezer. Just go out to the shop and go click down at Classes and Workshops and get that. And it'll talk you through this, but we pre-cook hamburger meat and we grill chicken and put it in meal-sized portions in the freezer.
Or you could boil chicken
and
save the broth and
or
then
even bake it.
They could drop, that's something that an elementary child could do.
Yes.
They could pull out the broth and the pre-cooked chicken and heat that. And then once it comes to a boil, add a cup of milk and a stick of butter and drop the fajita strips that they have cut.
Yes.
Even if they cut them one at a time, they can cut those strips and drop them into that boiling water and have a delicious meal.
Yes. Really super easy and fast.
And pop biscuits, canned biscuits. They could do that and put that in the oven. That's a wonderful wintertime school day meal.
Another super easy one, if you have hamburger already cooked in the freezer, your child can take that out, stick it in the microwave to warm it up, and mix it with 3 or 4 cans of baked beans, and then take pop biscuits, we call them Wop biscuits.
Yeah.
The canned biscuits out, put them on top, and put it all in an iron skillet, slide it in the oven. And then watch it. When the biscuits get done, say, "Hey, Mama, come take it out."
That's right. That's right. Because they couldn't handle those heavier things.
Right.
So with a baby in your hip, on your hip or even on your breast, you could still slide it in the oven.
That's right.
You might not could do the whole thing, but it
and
could.
And that's the thing. Starting about 9, our children are added to the Chef of the Day list. And at that point, I expect them to be able to cook several full meals. Now, how do they cook spaghetti? Well, they measure the water, they put it out on the stove, when it comes to a boil, they break the noodles into it, and when it's done, they come get a big kid or a mom or dad to come drain it for them. I don't want a 9-year-old carrying a big pot of boiling water.
That's right.
But they don't have to. That's 30 seconds out of the
whole
meal.
And they can pour it in a cup at a time.
You're right.
From the faucet.
And so, you can start with two or three easy meals that are going to be that child's mainstay.
Right.
By the time they're 11, though, I tell you what, an 11-year-old can do a lot.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was on pregnancy bed rest with one of our children, and Caleb was 11. He's an adult now. He was 11, and I had gestational diabetes, and I couldn't have carbs at breakfast, or my blood sugar went sky high. And so Hal had to get up and leave at 6:30. To go to work.
And you're supposed to be in the bed.
I'm supposed to be in the bed. I can't get up. And so for the children, that was easy. We could do cheese toast or whatever, but I couldn't have carbs.
Right, right. And not so, even cereal.
Not even cereal.
You needed an egg, hon.
Right. So Hal taught Caleb, and I got so sick of eggs, of just scrambled eggs.
Right.
Hal taught Caleb how to make omelets. And I want you to know that 11-year-old became an expert omelet maker.
How wonderful.
He made probably 100 different omelets. During my pregnancy, he put all kinds of different fillings in them, and he saw it as his ministry
to you,
to me, to keep my interest.
How wonderful.
Because I was so
bored with everything. With eggs. Yes, and especially if you've been a good cook since high school.
Yes, and so he would go through cookbooks, and he'd say, Mama, today we're going to try a Polynesian omelet.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Melanie, one of the things that I know is true in your family and is in mine as well, and I want to encourage any young moms out there that some of these things that are born out of necessity, maybe something like a bed pregnancy, then I know that your son, when he was in college, that was one of his ministries, was having people over for a home-cooked meal and to play games and share, just share the gospel and bring non-Christian friends in.
Yes.
And my son, Caleb, also, you can tell they're about the same age,
was
that right now he and his dear wife, they have other unbelieving couples over for breakfast on Saturday morning. And he makes waffles, banana waffles and other things. And that way, no matter when the couples come in, the waffle iron is hot. And they have a 2-hour period that between 8 and 10 on Saturday mornings, they have a series of couples that come through for breakfast. And they get to really talk and befriend couples. They're not inviting them to church yet, but eventually some of those have come to the Lord just by coming and having waffles, which waffles, when you've got a house full of kids, that takes a lot of your time.
It does.
And yet so the kids learn to make waffles,
because
I don't mind making waffles. I just mind taking an hour for breakfast,
standing there and taking an hour cooking.
That's
all
right,
the waffles
one at a time. And so we would rotate and everybody would cook their own waffle, and they all can make really delicious waffles.
You know why? And that's the thing. I would feel guilty because, and I hear moms say, I don't want my children to feel like it's I'm being a burden to them. You know, I would feel guilty for handing these things off to our children. And yet, now that we have adult children, I see those things have been a huge blessing
in
their
lives. That they're equipped. That's right.
Yes.
That they are equipped to live life and to do things. And, not staying in a dorm in college, when I first went to college, I thought, they need to be in the dorm. But after some bad roommate experiences, I'm not such a proponent of that.
No, me either.
But to be off the school cafeteria, they need to be able to cook.
They need to be able to cook.
They need to have something besides ramen noodles. And they need to know how to cook vegetables.
Yes.
And vegetables cooked right are easy.
They're easy and delicious. And so during those preteen years, you want to teach them how to cook vegetables. You want to teach them how to cook full meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's right.
Teach them how to look at a meal and make sure that it's balanced in color. And in flavors.
Textures.
You want something crispy, something soft. You want several different colors. You don't want it to be all a brown meal.
Right.
Right. And
or everything be yellow.
Yes.
Corn and macaroni and cheese. And
And so you talk about that as you're poking your head in and saying, well, what are you planning for tonight?
Right.
Oh, well, that's everything's going to be brown. Have you thought about maybe changing out the corn for peas?
Right. One of the things, gals that are listening, or for you gentlemen, I'm telling you, it pays dividends, because I'm on the backside of this. Our children are all grown. 3 of the 4 are married, and they are all wonderful cooks now. And the deal is, they come home. You share holidays, hopefully, the rest of your lives together, and you don't want to be doing all the cooking. So everybody brings food together, and now it's a rich, special experience. And we have a kitchen that we all get in there and cook together as adults. Y'all, these kids grow up and they are fun.
They
are
fun.
And if you teach them, they are really cool people to hang out with.
Now, that is a great introduction into one of the other objections I hear from moms. They say, well, they just can't do it right.
Ah.
And this was
that's right. They can do it right
at first. But, this was a burden. This was a speed bump to me. Not in ordinary cooking. I was cool with that. But at Christmas, we make a really big deal about Christmas in our home. And we make like 20 different kinds of treats and cookies and stuff. And we have a lot, do a lot of entertaining. And several times I found myself on bed rest with a pregnancy. I had to bed rest with all of our pregnancies.
It's amazing.
And we needed to make those cookies. They were important to us. And I cannot tell you how hard it was for me to let go of making sure they were perfect. But you know what, Jan, it's been such a blessing because now, like you said, all of us do it. And different children specialized in different things. And Seth, who's 16, is so good at braided breads. We make a braided bread with cranberry sauce in the middle.
Oh,
it's really
cool.
Delicious. He's so good at that. And you know, when he started doing that when he was 10, I felt really scared about letting him have it.
Wow. Yeah.
But I thought, okay, if it doesn't look right, it'll still taste the same. He's putting the right things in there. I'm watching him make it. And you know what? Some of them didn't turn out very beautiful, but now they're gorgeous.
That is, we can't encourage you enough to train your children
yes.
to cook, because it pays dividends, and they have to be able to fail. They have to try.
Yes.
And you'd rather them try in your kitchen than with their wife as a new bride
yes.
trying things. You're going to be more gracious than she is.
Oh, yes. And I tell you what else. The thing is...
You can tell we have boys.
Oh, yes. You may have to throw out some things.
Right.
But it will save you so much money from running to McDonald's or ordering pizza or going out to eat over the long run.
As well as your own children's nutrition when they hit college years.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, we haven't thrown out much because we have boys and they'll eat anything.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I've had to go make something else for myself, but they would eat it anyway. And sometimes you discover new recipes that way.
Right.
Like one time, a child was making shepherd's pie. And they misread the, and they were making it with instant mashed potatoes. They misread the amount of salt they add. And you can't take that out. You can't change it. And I tasted it and I thought, this is not going
to
work. I said, okay, what are we going to do?
We've
got to add
it.
Something. Well, we didn't have any more potatoes to add. You know what we did? We dumped it down into a pot and we added beef broth and milk and made shepherd's pie soup.
Oh.
It was wonderful.
And it just diluted the salt.
It diluted the salt right out.
Huh.
And it was delicious. And now,
right.
and that became a favorite treat of everybody.
Now, isn't that what God does with our lives?
It is.
He takes when we make a mess and we think, okay, this is just a sin. And we repent. And somehow he weaves his sovereignty and our sin. And we end up with something beautiful.
Yes, he takes the trials, our mistakes, and he glorifies them. And he restores and heals and he makes something special. And we've got to have that attitude toward our children in cooking.
That's right.
We've got to get them into the kitchen. I'll tell you what, we're not talking about the teen years because in my experience, if you train them through the preteen years, the teen years can do absolutely anything.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, my...
They want to then become gourmet cooks, and they want special ingredients.
Yes, they do.
And I've had to let go and realize it's okay for them to be better cooks than me.
Yes, I had to let go of some things, too, because in some areas, they are better. I'll never forget one of our sons walking into the, I think it was David at 11, came in, and he said, I noticed you bought some baby portobello mushrooms. And he said, do you mind if I use those?
And those are expensive.
They are, but I got them at Aldi. They're not expensive at Aldi. You need Aldis in Louisiana. So I thought, well, I was kind of saving those, but I was so busy. We had some kind of crisis with ministry. I was so busy, I just said, whatever. He said, do you mind if I make quiche?
Oh.
I thought, I don't think he can do this. But I was so busy, I just said, okay, whatever.
Had to have ingredients.
I had ingredients.
Yeah.
That child made portobello mushroom quiche that would make you cry. It was so good.
Oh, how wonderful.
11 years old.
You know, we talk about kids in the teen years. One of the things they can do is they can sign up to be a sous chef, to do the chopping.
Yeah.
If they're comfortable with a knife, they can sign up at one of your quality restaurants in town if they're interested in cooking and learn to really become an outstanding cook. You know, the secret's in the sauce.
It is.
If they can learn to make those sauces where you cook down the broth and you have everything. That's what our daughter did after she graduated from college. She worked as an intern in D.C., and, you know, by the time you've homeschooled, especially when she debated in high school and debated in college, our congressman was on the anyway, he was on the farm bill. He was on the farm committee, and she knew all about it. She debated it, and she was ready to go to those meetings with him. Well, as an intern right out of college, she was a pipsqueak, and yeah. they didn't want her to do it. She got a job waiting tables at night in the nicest restaurant where all the senators went to.
Yes.
And she made friends with the cook. And she realized the value of learning from those fine chefs.
Yes.
And when you're willing to do whatever they want you to do, you can learn a lot about cooking.
Oh, yes.
So some of that might be available to some of these children that while they're even in high school, if they're quality kids, yes. they could sign on to CHOP. And then they get to see the inside secrets of quality restaurants.
Well, we have seen this become, the things that we've taught our kids at home have been this. Things that they've done for pay for other people.
Right.
And also things they've used in ministry, just like we talked about John's yeah. ministry. Folks, we are out of time. This has been so much fun. Jan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And y'all, just let go of your fears.
That's right.
Get those kids in the kitchen. Let go. And if they make a mess, just make them clean it up.
And start earlier than you think you should.
Yes, because last night we were talking. Kids will rise to your expectations, and that's a whole lot better than them stooping to your low expectations.
That's right.
And so give them high expectations, set them free in the kitchen, and y'all have fun. It's been great talking to you. We'll be back next week on Making Biblical Family Life Practical, and we'll see you as we're out and about. Take care. Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.